Richard Wagner's epic tetralogy, The Ring of the Nibelung, is regarded as an artwork in a class of its own. And Die Walküre, The Valkyrie, is probably the best known and most popular segment, not only for the by-now cliched Ride of the Valkyries. Queen City Chamber Opera presents a fully staged production of Act One of Die Walküre, and the company's founder and conductor, Isaac Salya, and stage director, Jim Sluffman, are here with me. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you very much.
Isaac, Wagner isn't necessarily known for his chamber works. Why did you choose the segment of this opera?
When we present chamber works, we're focusing mostly on intimacy of experience. So we perform in a small hall that accommodates about 300 people, and we try to get people as close as they can to the action and to the emotion of the actors. So when we have a scene from Walküre, which only has three singers on stage, we thought it would be a really good mix for the kind of experience we're going to offer.
Yes, and I think that's true for many of the scenes throughout the entire Ring cycle,
yeah.
Is that many of these scenes are, in fact, with maybe two or at the most three people. And another feature of the Ring is the exceptionally large orchestra. Do you have the requisite tubas for Hunding?
Well, actually, in 2009, Schott Music published a critical edition of the complete Wagner works that included reduced versions of the works. So this is still a big orchestra, especially by our standards. It's 40 instruments. It still has all the notes covered, but instead of having Wagner tubas, we just have the trombones doing double duty. So instead of having a bass clarinet, one of the bassoons does double duty. So it's kind of a patchwork reduction that still covers everything, gives you the sound, but without all the fancy instruments.
And what's it like for you to be working through this score?
It's really incredible. People say that Wagner is like a class all on his own, and it's something that's just of a different scale. At the same time, you can see how he comes out of the tradition of Mozart and Weber and Beethoven. He admired Beethoven. It really is grounded in the classical tradition, and it opens up my mind to everything else that I work on. It's really a treat.
It's an extraordinary score in that it starts out with this wild storm going on, and it calms down, and then it goes off into another storm of a different kind. And that's where you come in, Jim Sluffman. You're the director. Yeah. This act is love at first sight. So how are you pacing the staging?
It's an intimate piece, and of course the characters evolve before your very eyes, step by step by step, and the guide to the whole action really is the music. And the music carries the emotions, and there's abrupt changes, there's tons of contrast that's happening. So we're going to move along. Looking at some of the stage direction that's included in the score, Wagner was so meticulous that he actually provided a detailed stage direction in his score, and we're going to enhance this and come up with some ways of really demonstrating through our singers what those emotions really mean.
Can you give an example of some of Wagner's stage directions?
Here's, I think, a very interesting one. When Sieglinde puts a potion in the night drink of Hunding, who is this kind of, needless to say, a semi-violent kind of character, and she wants to calm him down so that she can chat further with Siegmund, of course. At the time when she is dropping those herbs into the drinking horn, in the orchestra, there is a punctuation of boom, boom, and the hand follows. So it's all there, and it really leads the viewer into understanding what the emotions and what's going on.
Let's backtrack a bit and talk about the storyline, because there may be people who are not familiar with what this first act is all about.
You have to start before the act starts, that Wotan, the god of oaths, has taken human form and adopted the name Velsa and started a family with a human woman, and he has twins. And he lives a warlike existence, and he ends up in a feud with the Nidung clan. They come while he's away with Siegmund and decimate their house and steal Sieglinde and kill the mother. Siegmund then lives by himself for a while, and the opera starts with him being chased by a crowd of pursuers into Hunding's house where he seeks some type of protection. Hunding and his clan have forced Sieglinde to marry Hunding. Apparently this is something that they do because it's a plot point that returns again, that this clan, they like forcing women into marriages. So over the course of the first act, Siegmund and Sieglinde realize, just by telling one another, okay, how did I get here, that they are in fact twins and that they were separated at birth, and that Wotan, in disguise as Velsa, has left a sword stuck in a tree in Hunding's house so that Siegmund can come and pull the sword free and save Sieglinde from her forced abusive marriage.
And there you have it.
Not making this up, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Wagner challenges every artist associated with his operas, whether it's the orchestra, conductors, directors, and especially singers. So tell us about your cast.
We are incredibly fortunate to have these singers, because when you're dealing with Wagner, you really need someone who just has a special kind of anatomy. Now that we've grown as a company, we have access to more singers. We've been able to get the singers that we have. Singing the role of Sieglinde, we have Kimberly Busek, who holds a doctorate from CCM and is voice faculty at both Wittenberg University and Wright State. And she's sung a lot of big soprano roles, such as Ariadne and Ariadne F. Naxos, and she's done scenes from Onegin singing Tatiana. Really a very distinctive, powerful kind of voice. If you go to our website, you can actually hear some clips of her singing. Singing the role of Siegmund, we have Rick Forman, who is one of the 8 finalists in the International Wagner Competition. And he actually covered the role of Siegmund at the most recent Seattle Ring. So he was looking for a way where he could actually do it himself. And then singing the role of Hunding, we have William Tverdyk, who is completing an artist diploma at CCM and recently sang the title role in Don Pasquale. And he also sang with us last season when we did Montemezzi's L'Amore de Tre Re. And he's going to be starting a year-long contract with Utah Opera right after he finishes this summer.
Tell us about the production. You're doing this at the Dunham Community Center. How are you setting this up with the tree growing up in the middle of the house?
Well, it's kind of dual duty. The tree is being built by Isaac. The interior of Hunding's hut is being designed and built by yours truly. We built the 2 walls that will form the interior along with an engineer friend of mine, and they really are rustic and they really have a lot of personality, and I really can't wait to see the lighting effects that will be created. There's 2 windows in the panels that form the interior of the room. One reflects spring, one reflects a winter scene at night with a moon, and so we're carrying those themes throughout in terms of color and in terms of different props that we're utilizing to produce this incredible production. It's all about an intimate space. It's all about what's going on in that intimate space and the emotions that are being revealed as the story unfolds.
Jim, you founded the Wagner Society here in Cincinnati. What's their involvement with this production?
As I said, we are designing the set. We are building the set out. We're the prop masters as well. Some we have developed ourselves. Some we have borrowed from Cincinnati Opera, who has been very, very kind to us to loan us some items from their prop warehouse. Also, we're consulting and working with Isaac on some marketing ideas, some promotion ideas. Also, the surcaps are being worked on by one of our members, and we're going to do a lot of collaborative events surrounding the production to make sure that it's going to be the most exciting event yet.
Isaac, does Queen City Chamber Opera have any plans to do more Wagner, like, you know, a scaled-down version of Meistersinger?
Honestly, I mean, I would love to do some more, but if we do, we'll probably focus on acts that have a limited number of people on stage. I mean, I've been eyeing scenes from Siegfried for a while, but that's still up in the air.
Yeah, I think you better find yourself a really powerful tenor who can go the distance.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a gutsy project, and we wish you all in Bocco al Lupo. Thank you to my guests, Isaac Selya, Artistic Director of Queen City Chamber Opera, and Jim Sluffman, who directs the company's production of Act 1 of Richard Wagner's Die Walküre. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Ehrenstein.